Lord, speak to us today through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, that's the title of our sermon. Finally, late this year, an instrument about the size of a loaf of bread will pop out of a rocket 500 feet in the air, or 500 miles, I'm sorry, above the earth, and it will unfurl a triangle-like shiny device, and they call it a sail. And in fact, they have dubbed this object Light Sail 1. And the goal is that this object would sail across the cosmos and explore the stars. That's their hope. And the goal is that if they can get this object to work, that they will build others and larger ones. And they have theorized that this particular light sail will reach hundreds of thousands of miles per hour. And so they figure with that kind of speed, I want you to listen to this, they will be able to travel all over our solar system in 5 years. And if they can keep that going, then within 100 years, they can get to another star system. Well, I'm not holding my breath for a ride on the light sail. A little slow for me. I'm planning to go another way. Finally, in Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11, which you're very familiar, when our Lord left this earth, they saw him leave, ascend. And they were watching him as he ascended. And that particular scripture in Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11 says, this same Jesus, in the manner in which he left, he's coming back the same way. I don't think it's going to take him 100 years. I think he has light sail one beat. And in John 14 in verses 1 through 3 says that he was going, and when he goes, he's going to prepare a place for you and me. And if he goes to prepare a place for you and me, then he's coming back to receive you and take you exactly where he resides. John 14, 1 through 3. I'm paraphrasing those passages that you are very familiar with. And then the passage we all know, 1 Thessalonians. If you would turn there, I just want you to see it again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the scriptures read, 13, I'll start at 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So we're going back with Jesus, and it won't take 100 years to do it. And then in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen." And then verse 8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And then in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says, after Jesus comes back to gather us, those who are alive and those who have died in Christ, and we go back to be with him in heaven, the Bible says that we will be there for 1,000 years. That's Revelation chapter 20. You'll hear it called the millennium. We'll be there for 1,000 years. And then, after Revelation chapter 20, then finally, we come back here to earth. You know, I tend not to think that way. We come right back here to earth. And in fact, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now, I've read, in fact, Gordon Kaner's book. Is it Kaner or Kiner? Which one is it? What's the pronunciation of that gene? I just read his book. It's Kaner. Okay. The Other Side of Orion. Fascinating book on heaven. The holy city, New Jerusalem, I want you to get this, comes down out of heaven above, and sits here on the earth, the holy city. Now, he says, I'll let you know that I've read it both ways. You can take whichever one you want. You can take either version you want. The one that I've seen most of all says that the city, the holy city, New Jerusalem, is 375 miles on each side. 375 miles north, south, east, west. Now, Gordon Kaner says it's 1,500 miles. Now, I've seen it both ways. You take either one you want, both of them are big. His version says that it's 2 million square miles on the first level. You see, because it's as high as it is wide. It's a cube. It's a perfect cube. I want you to picture this. The New Jerusalem coming down 1,500 miles high. I think it'll have enough room for you and me. Think there'll be room for us? That is just the city. Now that's not the new earth. That is the city. That's where we go to shop. Come on now, y'all. I don't know. Don't take that literally. But that's just the city. Isaiah talks about outside of the city. Now, I'm not exactly sure, based on where the city will sit, how far it will stretch. I'm not sure. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, it said it had 12 gates. And of the 12 gates, they were made up of 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. That's Revelation 21 and verse 21. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Nothing cheap about that city. But I was probably more intrigued. You know, I could go on with those kinds of things. But I was more intrigued about the people things regarding new heaven and new earth. And so I just looked at a few of them as the Bible listed them. First of all, the scripture that we read, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, says that there will be people of every nation, tribe, people, and language. I hope you got that. People of every tribe, people, nation, and language. When I kept looking at language, will it be Spanish or English? Will it be French or German? I don't have anything to go on, but I have a feeling that whatever language you speak, when you get there, we'll be able to understand everybody. And we will. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were able to understand all the languages. And it wasn't one language. There were a lot. And I don't know how we're going to do that, but our minds will be so sharp that if you speak Spanish and French and German like Pastor Sam, I have it all. That's the kind of caring that God does. He doesn't, see, we have interpreted, we have assumed that he wipes out all the languages and he's given everybody ours. That's not Bible. That's your own idea. I don't think we know. Ellen White, I talked about her last week, and I talked about the gift to this church, the gift of prophecy. There's some very interesting things to say about some of the people things that I thought about. She says, "For we shall ever feel the freshness of morning and shall ever be far from its close." The freshness of morning. Think about that. Isn't this a beautiful morning? And in the new earth, there are no chilling winds. Oh, those in the east would like to hear this. No disagreeable changes. The atmosphere is ever right and healthful. It's My Life Today, page 354. Those are people things. And then there's the what we do. Their immortal minds will contemplate with never-failing delight the wonders of creative power. The acquirement of knowledge will not weary the mind or exhaust the energies. Hallelujah, Brenda. I'm talking to Brenda because we're both trying to work on our doctorates, and Lord knows we get tired. But we will have energy, fresh energy to study and wonder. There the grandest enterprises may be carried forward, the loftiest aspirations reached, the highest ambitions realized, and still there will arise new heights to surmount, new wonders to admire, new truths to comprehend, fresh objects to call forth the power of mind, soul, and body. We'll be doing stuff that matters. And on each side, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2. And he showed me, verse 1, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruit, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. A river. When I was growing up in Philadelphia, we had a river that my brother, we would go down and play at. It was the Schuylkill River, the dirtiest river in the country. But it was a river. And we loved to go down there and see the catfish. Catfish love dirty places. So we just look at the catfish, you know, just swimming around in the river. We love the river. There's a river there, flowing through the city. And then there's the tree of life where we can eat. I want you to think about that. Trees with fruit that yields its fruit every month. 12 different fruit on a tree that yields its fruit every month. Pastor Matafa, help me to get there quickly and take a bite of a piece of fruit from the tree of life. We're going to be eating there. I imagine those who picked up the... Benny is a good vegetarian cook. Yeah, Benny. I imagine you'll be able to do something with those fruit. 12 different kinds of fruit. Imagine that salad. Imagine we'll have time to just kind of work that. People kinds of things. And then finally, we'll see Jesus. Now, I haven't figured this out yet. I want to see Jesus. I want to take some time with him. But you do too. And probably several billion other people. How Jesus going to make time for all of us? I haven't quite figured that out yet. But let me get there. And it's a good chance, since we have eternity, that when I do get my personal appointment with Jesus, it'll be about a 100-year appointment. I don't know if that's true or not. But I think he can work that out. Face to face with Jesus. We'll have communion with holy beings. And it could be that I'll get around to talking to Jesus, but in the meantime, I'll be talking to Joseph. He's my favorite Bible hero. I like both Josephs, Mary's Joseph and Joseph of Genesis fame. I'll be talking to them. I have a lot to talk with them about. And some of you might want to talk to Paul. I kind of believe we'll have enough to do. Enough. Sacred fellowship and bonds with the whole family of heaven and earth. Ninth volume of the Testimonies, page 285. And all will be happy, united, clothed with the garment of praise and thanksgiving and the robe of Christ's righteousness. All nature, in its surpassing loveliness, will offer to God a tribute of praise and adoration. The world will be bathed in the light of heaven. The light of the moon, I want you to get this, will be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will be sevenfold greater than it is now. That's Ministry of Healing 504 to 507. Now we know that the moon doesn't give light. It gets its light from the sun. But the sun, remember, is going to be seven times brighter. Now, don't go looking up at the sun and challenge yourself. But you can't even stare into the sun without a pair of sunglasses. Am I right? And we're talking about seven times brighter. He must be going to do something with these eyes that I have here. And she says that the years will move on in gladness. But there's one thing that I have to know before I can say finally. What if my dear mother is not there? What if my dear father is not there? How am I going to deal with that, the new earth, if my wife is not there? Or vice versa. I'm going to deal with it. And I think that's what, and children, if you have parents that seem to be bugging you all the time, or they're always telling you that they're praying for you, that's why we're praying for you. We want to be with you forever in the earth made new. So we just keep, it's just our way of saying, I don't want to ever let you go. And so how can I deal with that if they're not there? You see, that's what we will spend that 1,000 years doing. You see, when we get back here to the earth made new, after the 1,000 years, it will all be settled. There'll only be one side, God's side. You will know without a shadow of a doubt that God is fair and just and true. And that's why, because this text really, this helps bring it into focus. It says, the former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Isaiah says that in Isaiah 65 and verse 17. And now it makes sense. It doesn't mean that you won't remember the individuals, but you'll know that God is fair and just and true. And so with that in mind, you'll be able to go out. And you see, this text, we tend not to see it in this way, but Isaiah 65 and verse 21 and 22 says, they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not eat and another plant. You know what's in that text? Fairness. Fairness. God will make sure that when we finally get there, that is fair. I mean, he didn't have to, that text didn't have to be written that way, but there's a certain fairness in that text. Building and then another inhabit. Come on, think about that. Planting and then another eating. Not in the new earth. But the new earth will not be the same if you're not there. It just won't be the same if you're not there. And finally, you know, my wife and I, we've been trying to figure up the years that we have both been working. I think we add on a year each time we talk about it. I think my wife has me. She has me by a few years in the work world. And we're grateful for how the Lord has blessed us. And we're grateful that as we come to retirement, as I've already gotten there, what is it all for? I mean, come on, think of it. What is it all for? Is it about stuff? What about all the sacrifices and all the things that go along with working and accumulating? What is it all for? Well, if I'm like most parents, by now it's not about the stuff. It's more about people. It's about wanting to see my daughter and son and now my grandkids, see them succeed, do well, be healthy, be happy. It's really about that. It's not about stuff. We've been through stuff. We've had stuff. We've had stuff and not had stuff, right? We've been disappointed with stuff. We've had stuff break down. We have. I mean, it's been a trip. If that's all it's about, it's not about anything, but it's about people. It's about us. It's about. And that's why, you know, there's a text that says no one will be able to say, I am sick. What a text that is. That's a people text. That's a people text. I care. No more sickness. God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's a people text. That's an I care text. Not stuff. I believe God's going to do that. I'm not sure how he's going to get to everybody who's crying, but he says, I'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a God we serve. And then, finally, I want to apologize as I close this message. Because I am trying to describe something to you that the Bible says is indescribable. In fact, I'll read the text. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. What a text. Now, I've just tried to explain to you. So if you didn't get it, don't feel bad. I did the best I could with the little mind that I have. But whatever it is you think of, your highest thoughts is greater than any of that. In fact, if we put them all together, it's greater than that. If we put them together with all the people in the world, it's greater than that. And I like the way that text ends, because we end with a lot of stuff. But God says, to those who love him. Isn't that what it's all about? When it gets down to it, isn't it about love? I mean, really, when we get down to, when we strip off all the stuff, isn't it about love? When I told you, I shared the text with these a few weeks ago. Faith, hope, depending on your version, charity, love, and the greatest of these is love. When we get there, finally, you're going to experience love, and it's going to get greater every single day. How many want to be there with me? Amen. Let's pray. Finally, Lord, that's what this is all about. That's why we get up and come here when we don't feel well. That's why we put effort into life when it's not always going the way we think it ought. Because finally, one day, everything that we've ever thought of that's good and great, it's going to be greater than that. We'll come to fruition through you. Oh, Lord, is this a pie in the sky? No, Lord, it's right here on this earth where you will set up your kingdom. Lord, may each of us continue to love you, so that when you come again, we'll be ready to go home with you. Be it heaven for the 1,000 years, and then when we come back here on this earth to build and to plant. May everyone here who's here in the sound of my voice, those that have raised their hands, believe it can happen. In Jesus' name, amen.